Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night, and this is the Gift of Grace where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We ended up last week, we did actually 2 weeks on Luke chapter 4 / Isaiah 61, which was Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth, proclaiming a messianic prophecy, and then saying that this prophecy has been fulfilled today in your hearing. And when we ended last week's show, the end of the lesson is the people in his town, people who knew him, people who had seen him grow up, people who had known him since he was younger, all the townspeople presumably knew each other, got very angry with him with the idea of, well, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the guy we've always known? How can he say this is about him? And then at the end of the passage, they want to throw him off the cliff to kill him. But of course, it was not the time for that yet. And so he just walked through them. So there was a question about his authority. And if you read through the four Gospels, you'll see many different places where his authority is questioned. And this goes from mostly the religious leaders, the high-placed people of communities, where they actually were the ones that had authority, and they didn't understand why he thought he had any authority, because they had not given him any authority. And as we mentioned, I think, in the passage about the synagogue at Nazareth, the fact that he was from Galilee was just mind-boggling to the people in Jerusalem, because the Galilee was a backwards area. There were no schools of any kind of higher education there. They were simple working people who farmed and fished. There were only 7 synagogues in all of the Galilee. No prophet had ever come from Galilee. There were no religious leaders that had come from Galilee. And then all of a sudden, this rabbi shows up with a group of followers who, you know, to kind of use an old term, were a ragtag group, as I like to call them. They were a sorry-looking bunch of guys. They were not educated. We don't even know if they could read and write. They spent 3 years with him. When their leaders, when the Pharisees, when the Sanhedrin saw these people, including Jesus, their reaction was, who do these people think they are? What do they think they're doing here? So today we're going to take another example of this, and I don't know, there's a lot of examples, and we might do another one. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21. So I'll give you a second to flip there. And again, if you want to hear any of the shows, actually, if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, that's giftofgraceministries.org, all the radio shows are there going back to 2009. And they also go on the podcast. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, or if you don't want to, you haven't got to hear any of them, if you go to any of your podcast apps and search for Dr. Phil / Gift of Grace, they'll all pop up. I think there's, 650 of them or 700 and some of them. I'm not sure how many. But all the radio shows go onto the podcast usually within a few days. And there's also a YouTube channel. The YouTubes are a lot more fun because at least you get to see something. But the YouTube channel is One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. That's One in Messiah Gift of Grace Ministries. So go there and watch. There's, I don't know how many YouTube teachings there are, but go there, watch something, and subscribe. But anyway, Matthew 21, we're going to start in verse 23. This is another interaction between the religious leaders and Jesus. Now, keeping in mind how I set the stage for this, you can only imagine it from their point of view. And I want you to see how skillfully he handles the whole situation to realize that rather than he being backed into a corner, they are backed into a corner. So Matthew 21:23. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" Ooh. So here's the situation. Here's a little further setting of this. This is after Palm Sunday. Jesus does not spend a lot of time in Jerusalem over the course of his earthly ministry. Goes there for the pilgrimage feasts, is there for a week or so before his death, well, 5 days before his death. But during that time from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, he's teaching in the temple. He doesn't even stay overnight in Jerusalem. He always goes to the Mount of Olives. But this setting takes place after Palm Sunday. He's come into the city in triumph as king and also as lamb, but we're going to get to that as we get closer to Palm Sunday. And these are the chief priests and the elders. These were the teachers. These were the judges. These were people that, and they were men. I can use the word men because, of course, women would have had no position anywhere near any of this. These were men who spent their whole lives reading the scriptures, debating the scriptures, and deciding the meaning of scriptures, and then they became the teachers. They became the teachers of the people. If you remember in John chapter 3, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, Nicodemus is called the teacher of Israel. He's a high position teacher. He's kind of like a, you know, head of a university or something, some equivalent. He is a very high-placed, high-position teacher. And Jesus says, "You who are a teacher of Israel don't understand this." So these were the people that, since they knew all the scriptures, they should be looking for Messiah. They should be looking for the Messianic kingdom. But they were in opposition to him because, after all, he was a troublemaker. After all, he was upsetting their system. After all, up to this point, he had just really criticized a lot of the things that they did, a lot of the ways that they lived their lives, a lot of the ways that they had elevated the traditions to the same level as the law. And he tells them, "Your traditions make my word of no effect," because people were following traditions and thinking they were laws, and It was a very serious power structure, and Jesus was a threat to that. So they were in opposition. And here, you notice, they interrupt him while he's teaching. You know, Matthew makes a point of telling us, while he's teaching, he gets interrupted. Now, can you imagine if one of them, in their position as teachers of Israel, if somebody from Galilee would have dared to say something while they were teaching, they would have been thrown out of the place. The temple police would have been there. But they interrupt Jesus while he's teaching. They don't want to hear what he's saying. You know, this reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son. You know, if you read that, maybe we'll do that one of these Sunday nights. But at the beginning of the parable, it says that the common people were listening to every word he was saying, and the religious leaders were murmuring, like, "What's this guy talking about? What's he mean, the two sons? A poor guy, son. Who does he think he is? Why are these people listening?" They don't want to hear what he has to say. And the fact that they interrupt him while he's teaching, they don't want others to hear what he has to say. And I think that's a very important point to keep in mind. They don't want to hear him. They don't want anybody else to hear him. You know, in a couple of chapters in Matthew 23, which someday we should do 10 shows on, you know, Jesus says to these same guys, not only do you not get into the kingdom, but you prevent others from getting into the kingdom, which is a much worse problem. So their question is, who gave you this authority? Who do you think you are? Why are you here in the temple teaching? You're not a Levite. You're not in the Sanhedrin. You're not one of the Pharisees. I don't think you're on the faculty of any of our yeshivas here, any of our Bible schools here. I don't remember seeing your name on any buildings here. Who do you think you are? Who gave you this authority? They're the ones who had the authority. You know, they could have said, and we don't know because, you know, not everything is recorded. They could have said, we don't know who gave you this authority, but it wasn't us. We never gave you a license. We never gave you a certificate. We never gave you a diploma. So who gave you this authority? Because now they were being questioned. Their teaching was being questioned. Their teaching ability was being questioned. And now they had to deal with him face on. They had to deal with him because he was in the temple now. He had been in Jerusalem for a while. This was during the last 5 days of his earthly life. He was in the temple. He wasn't in Galilee. He wasn't, you know, hiding out somewhere in the wilderness. He was with them, in front of them, and in the temple, which was their place. This was their headquarters. This was their stomping ground, so to speak. They were in control of this place. But we know this is the place where God put his name on this temple mount. So, of course, Jesus would be there. But they had to confront him now. They confronted him when he was in Galilee, but, you know, he was a distance from the city and they could send, you know, some of their peons over to question him. Now he was in the main place. I mean, this is the ultimate of their covenant, the ultimate of their faith, the ultimate place of their whole ritualistic liturgy was in this building. And now he was here teaching. And to complicate matters, it was coming up to Passover. So there were a lot of people coming into the city. Passover was one of the pilgrimage feasts. It was one of the three pilgrimage feasts. So there were way more people in the city than normally would have been there. So there were more people listening to him. And he's in the temple. There's a crowd of people. And they basically say, what are your credentials for doing this? We didn't give you any credentials. What's your authority? We didn't give you any authority. And frankly, you and your followers look like a sorry bunch of guys, and we have no idea how you think you have the authority to do this. They were still thinking about a day or two earlier when he had entered the city in triumph. Came into the city fulfilling Zechariah 9:9 about your king comes to you riding on a donkey and bringing salvation with him. He heard, these leaders heard the people chanting Hosanna to the Son of David, which means come and save us, you're the Messiah. They heard all the praise that these people gave him. He had come in and cleansed the temple. He had gone around healing people. He had been teaching, and now he was in the temple teaching. So this was a point of high emotion for the leaders. This was a point of, you know, the heat had been turned up, so to speak, and confrontation, and we know, and they knew, and he knew, that this time of confrontation was going to end soon. And the plan was already present to put him to death, to get rid of this troublemaker. So after interrupting him at the temple, they ask him a question which was meant to trip him up. Where do you get this authority? So no matter how he answered, he was going to be in trouble. Just like when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? No matter what he answered, he was going to be in trouble. But here's the skillful part of it. He turns and asks them a question. He says, I'm going to ask you something. You know, nobody ever asked them anything because they were the ones in charge. You know, when you saw a Pharisee coming wearing all these cool robes and all this amazingly beautiful stuff, and you were some ordinary guy who was just trying to live his life and work and, you know, go to the temple and do the best you can with your religion and your family and your work, and you saw one of these guys with all this stuff on, with these huge phylacteries, you say, wow, now there's a holy guy. I wouldn't even dream of asking that guy a question. So Jesus says, okay, you ask me a question. I'm going to ask you a question first. And if you answer me, then I'll tell you where I get my authority. So he turns the tables, and that, of course, our English expression turns the tables comes from when he cleaned out the temple, because he literally turned the tables over and scattered all the money, scattered the animals that the people were selling, you know, made a whip and knocked everything over. So now he turns the table on them and says, okay, the baptism that John the Baptist did, what was the authority for that? Where did that come from? Did it come from God or did it come from men? Ooh. So now we see that they have a little problem now because they have to figure out how to answer this. Now, when they trapped Jesus, and if he would have said, well, John's authority came from God, that would have been blasphemous. If he would have said, yes, God gave him that authority because he's my herald, he's my messenger, that would have been blasphemy. If he would have remained quiet, or if he would have said, I don't know, they would have ridiculed him. They would have said, huh, you don't know. So he puts them in a similar position. He knew what they were up to. You know, we're like sheep among wolves too. You know, these guys were wolves, but he knew what they were up to. And as he points out to his disciples, you know, we have to be wise. We have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So John's mission had to come either from God or from his own mind. So they had to answer. So now they're in a bind. They wanted to put Jesus in a bind, but now they're in a bind. You know, later on in the book of Acts, the famous Rabbi Gamaliel that Saul of Tarsus / Paul studied under, who was one of the preeminent rabbis of the first century, when they were confronted with this movement of accepting Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah, he said, well, if this is from men, it'll just go away. If it's from God, there'll nothing you'll be able to do to stop it. So they kind of huddled. It says they, next verse, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? And if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for they all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. So here's their dilemma. If we say it's from God, he's going to say, well, then, why didn't you believe him? If we say it's from men, well, I don't know what he's going to say, but the people are going to be mad at us because they loved John the Baptist. They considered him a prophet, Some people thought he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was a great prophet. So if we say John made it all up, we're going to be in trouble with the people. So they discussed this among themselves. They had to protect themselves because they had to worry about what the people were going to say. They weren't worried about the truth. They weren't worried about the right answer to the question. They weren't worried about the basis of the question. And now, the other part of this dilemma was, if they said the baptism authority was from God, would they also have to believe Jesus? Because John pointed to him. They knew that John had preached repentance. They knew that John had pointed out to the people that Jesus was the Lamb of God and said, not only is the Messiah coming, there he is standing there. And they knew that Jesus was going around teaching and doing miracles. As the religious leaders, they should have ruled on this. You know, people would be shocked if they said to the people, well, we don't know any of this. Because they were the authorities. You know, it's when the man born blind was cured, and the Pharisees said to the man, you know, well, we don't know where this guy comes from. He ridicules the Pharisees and says, ha, isn't that funny? You guys are the authority and you don't know. So here, the common people really understood this better than the leaders did. And the leaders were the holy ones. This was backwards. And this kind of, it was foretold by Simeon, the prophet at Jesus' presentation, where he said, you know, this child is going to be responsible for the rise and fall of many in Israel. So they were in a bind. And he says, so they decide to say to him, well, we don't know. You know, we can't decide. And Jesus has really no patience with this, doesn't try to instruct them because he knew their motives, and says, and he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So you can't decide who's got authority. I'm not going to tell you. Because they weren't fit to discuss his authority. They weren't worthy to discuss his authority. He had no need to debate them. He had no need to defend himself against these people who just constantly asked him questions to trap him and constantly questioned his authority. And as he would say later, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So I really don't have the inclination at this moment to sit here and debate this with you, whose minds are on false teaching, power, murder, and greed. So I'm not going to tell you. Whew. People didn't talk to Pharisees like this when John and then later Jesus called them a brood of vipers. This really made them mad because they were the holy ones. The Pharisees were a group of men who formed a community, so to speak, that said, we're the ones that follow the law. We're the ones that are holy. These other people don't follow the law. This Yeshua, we don't know anything about him, but one thing we know, he can't be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. He heals on the Sabbath, and that's doing work. So he can't be from God. His disciples are even worse. They don't keep the Sabbath either. We saw them taking kernels of grain off the plant. Well, Jesus does not debate this with them. They're not worthy to have this debate. He knows their motive, and he knows their hearts. You know, we can fool each other. Religious leaders can fool you by their authority, and they can fool you by their credentials. But if they're false leaders, if they're wolves in shepherd's clothing, they will be found out. They're not going to fool God. And so Jesus is not fooled by this. Oh, I know the music is playing. Oh. Well, anyway, we kind of wrapped that up. But anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. And next week, maybe we'll do another authority type teaching. But hope you have an awesome week and come back where we'll read and teach God's word and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.